Hello everyone, magandang gabi sa inyong lahat. We're continuing our study on the book of Exodus. Pray muna po tayo as we study God's Word. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful privilege of you gathering us. Again, Lord, we would rather sana po magkakasama kami, but this is where your providence has taken us, and we just thank you and praise you for that. We pray that you would bless our time together in our study of your word. We pray that we would indeed be blessed and we would be instructed and be encouraged, Lord, to be more and all the more grateful for the salvation that we have in you, our Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God, the spotless one. We thank you, Lord. Be with us, and we pray that you would glorify yourself in the study of your word. This is our prayer with much thanksgiving. In the name of and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So tayo po ngayon ay babalik sa Exodus, and to those of you who are visiting or are joining us for the first time, we're looking at Exodus, and now we're in chapter 12. But the last time we were together, we were looking at chapter 11, and in chapter 11, inintroduce sa atin ang 10th plague. 10th and last plague. And as we were looking at the last study, the last chapter, we were looking at that section wherein we see plague after plague after plague, 9 in fact, before this 10th and final plague. Nagtaka tayo bakit hanggang sa panahon na yon, the heart of the Pharaoh is still hard. Why is still hard? And we consider such because we think and we feel like, kung andun ako siguro, if I was the Pharaoh, I'd probably see a clearer picture. I would get the message clear enough that I would let God's people go. Clearly, this God is a superior God, superior than our gods. But then again, we look at that section and we read. And as we studied last time, it's not confined to Exodus alone. It is not limited to Egypt alone. It does not stop with Pharaoh alone, because remember when we looked at the last book of the Bible, Revelation 16, where we see God pouring down his wrath on earth, when we see plagues. Verse 8, we see in Revelation 16, verse 8, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. Imagine that, friends. Scorching heat from the sun. They were scorched by the fierce heat, and we would think, oh, siguro magsisisi sila. And it reads, and they cursed the name of God who had the power over these plagues. They did not repent and give him glory. So the pattern that we see here in Exodus is not the pattern that stays in Exodus. It's not a pattern that stays in Egypt. It's not actually confined to Pharaoh alone. And as we discuss about the sovereignty of God, we saw that yes, indeed, God is sovereign. But we also discuss about the responsibility of man. That to begin with, Pharaoh's heart was already hard. It's not like mabait si Pharaoh, tapos biglang, all of a sudden, bakit naging matigas siya? No. It was very clear. As in the language of Romans, God gave Pharaoh over to his depravity. Again, we need to understand that indeed God is sovereign, but man is fully responsible to his actions. And for his actions. Nung nagkasama tayo last time and we were looking at this, we were also introduced and discussed about God declaring his excellencies through judgment and through mercy. He is judging Pharaoh and Egypt's false gods, while he is being gracious to Egypt, to Israel. Not that Israel was better. Alam natin ang narrative. Because as we go on with the Old Testament narrative of the history of Israel, they would groan and long for Egypt, diba? later in the history of Israel, they would serve other gods, but God would remain faithful and God would remain just. Because God is glorified in His grace and He's just the same glorified in His judgment. And as a reflection of such, we know that Pharaoh is a portrait of all humanity. Because we know that like Pharaoh, we too had hardened hearts. And apart from God moving, and apart from God quickening and giving us life, giving us faith, we would be just like Pharaoh. At salamat na lang po talaga sa Panginoong Diyos kung paanong pinili niyang papurihan ang kanyang sarili by saving us. Although we know that He is just the same glorified if He gives justice to wicked people like us. Amazing grace nga po talaga. So as we continue our study, we find a story that would be life-changing to the nation of Israel. Marami mga storya sa buhay natin that we reflect on, we remember, and experiences that shape our lives, di ba? For example, mga experiences na hindi natin makalimutan at parang pag wala yung mga bagay na yun, hindi tayo ang tayo sa panahon ngayon. For example, I remember when I proposed to my wife. Diba? I would never be the same. I remember when Yana was born. And it both girls changed my life very beautifully sa biyaya ng Diyos. There are some experiences in our lives that we just cannot forget. We often remember. And this is what we find as we open chapter 12. There is such a story as we continue the narrative of Exodus. In the story of the Passover, we see God's redemptive power, His mercy, His justice displayed, and His promises kept. In the institution of the Passover celebration, we see the need to remember. We see ito ang overarching theme, to remember God's saving power from generation to generation, in fact, as you would see that later in chapter 13. So itong idea po ng remembering God's grace is an important theme in this section at importanteng theme po sa buhay ng Kristiyano. We are a forgetful people. So we see the scripture urges us to remember the great and awe-inspiring Lord, Nehemiah 4, verse 14. In Ecclesiastes 12, we are to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. We ought to remember the wonderful works that He has done, Psalm 105, verse 5. And we remember Jesus Christ, the risen Savior from the dead. New Testament writers calls our attention to remember that essential gospel truth. Nung in-institute ng ating Panginoon Diyos in the background of the Passover meal, yung Lord's Supper, ano sinabi niya? Do this in remembrance of me. So, importante para sa ating lahat as we open this study and as we look into this section, that we are to remind ourselves of certain truths. In the passage before us, God wanted His people to remember the Exodus from Egypt. Importante yun. This is the this changes the identity of Israel. When we talk about Israel, they would point back to this situation, to this occasion. So, He gave them a multi-sensory way to remember it, to remember the Passover. Let me share with you. Diba? The Israelites observed the first Passover sa Egypt. That was the first Passover. How many years did they wander in the wilderness? 40 years. They observed and celebrated the Passover for 40 years in the wilderness. And when they entered the promised land, they kept it as well up to this point. Even the Jews right now who are still observing and embracing Jewish festivals, they still do that. So, importante ang Passover. We have a lengthy chapter I don't think we can finish everything ngayong gabing ito, but let me just share with you the outline that we would that would guide us in our study. I think pinapadala po sa inyo yung file for the outline. So what we have right now is a series of remember. The command to remember. First point, remember the substitute. Chapter 12, verse 1 to 28. Second heading, remember the severity or yung harshness or yung gravity. And we also should remember the mercy of God, verse 29 to 32. We also should remember, as our third heading, God's deliverance from verse 33 to verse 42. And we also ought to remember the Passover. Remember the Passover from Exodus 12:43 to 51. And lastly, our fifth heading, we ought to remember the strong hand of God. This is what is in chapter 13, 1 to 16. So we have five headings. I think we can only accomplish a few of them. And I just wanted to lay that out sa ating pag-aaral. Remember the substitute, remember the severity and mercy of God, remember God's deliverance, remember the Passover, remember the strong hand of God. So let us remember. Let's go back many years ago. Let's go back in biblical times. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. And as we open the first few verses, we are called to remember the substitute. Look at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. What we see first is this. Parang may reset, di ba? There's a reset of time for the nation of Israel. God was changing their calendar. Di ba sabi gan, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. Telling us that previously they had a system that tells time or that tells the month, days of the year. But God said, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. Pero pansinin po ninyo, mga kapatid, this is not only a reset of chronological time, but of covenant time. He told Moses and Aaron that there would be a new calendar. It would be a sign of a new beginning. What does this tell us? This tells us how important this event is. God is establishing their calendar based on not chronology, based on theology. And that they would be different from everyone else. Yung mga Hudyo po, ang first month nila, they call it the beginning of month, or the Abib. After the Babylonian captivity, they renamed it into Nisan. Nisan is March to April, right? So it says here, at the beginning of each year, they are to remember God's great salvation. This change in how they tell days and months focus on theology. And it points to transformation. They will be transformed. God would move in their midst and change them. It would be their very identity. When you talk about Israel, it points, it would be natural for people to look and discuss about the Passover. This points to God calling His people to keep Him at the center of their lives. Hindi po ba? Verse 3, tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. Napansin niyo po ba yun? Did you notice a subtle but significant shift? Tell all the congregation of Israel. There wasn't a congregation of Israel at the end of Genesis, tama? In Genesis, we see a family of Israel that multiplied and extended to patrilineage. And now, 12 tribes. In Egypt, you have a people of Israel. That was how they were referred to. Say to the people, do this to the people. But now, what do we see? We have a congregation of Israel. Even in the language, we know that this is a massive and significant shift from the people to the Jews, merely Israel, to the congregation of Israel. They are now being identified as a congregation, a worshiping congregation, a covenant-keeping, worshiping congregation. Again, this lengthy chapter gives us specifics of what Israel is about and supposed to do. Notice as well the subtle change of the role of Moses. You know, prior to this, ano po ba si Moses? He was God's mouthpiece. Para kayo? Para kay Pharaoh, right? Prior to this, he was the mouthpiece of God for Pharaoh. Now he is the mouthpiece of God to who? The congregation of Israel. We see now Moses becoming the prophet to the nation of Israel. Here we also have the sacrifice of an animal. And this is not new, tama? Kakatapos natin mag-aral ng Genesis, who do we remember? Abraham and Isaac, remember? And Isaac, Abraham's son, saying to his father, I see fire, I see the wood, but father, where is the lamb? So, this is nothing new. Nakaka-relate ang sino man nag-aral ng first book of the Bible nito. So here we come to the lamb, representing the sacrifice for the congregation of Israel. A sacrifice that will save Israel's firstborn son. Pero mga kapatid, this is not just a feast. A feast and a beginning of a festival wherein we have food. Diba kasi sa atin, when we say feast, when we say festival, piesta, we papasok agad sa ating isipan ang food. And that's normal because we tend to identify memorials or celebrations with food. There is a connection between an observance or an occasion with food because there are times we remember important occasions like food. Naalala ko pa kung anong kinain namin o anong meal namin nung kasal ko. We easily identify a special gathering with a meal. But this is not just a meal. This is not just a feast. It's a memorial. It's a remembering. As we open the first few verses of this wonderful chapter, it's not hard that we can jump easily from this meal, from this night, before a massive death, di ba? Yun ang background, to another meal. In a small room where Jesus gathered his disciples. He too had all the elements of a meal. My wine and all the elements of the meal. And remember how he made that event a memorial looking forward to the greatest death, the substitutionary death, the most meaningful sacrifice and death, of the Passover lamb who would take away the sins of the world. Galing, no? Look at verse 4 as we continue this wonderful narrative. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Sabing ganon, you are supposed to be taking a lamb or a goat. If you can't afford a lamb, then lamb or sheep. Pero pag hindi mo kayang bumili ng lamb, then a goat. At sabi, on the 10th day of this month, this new month, this new calendar, this new way of telling time, not based on chronology, but theology. On the 10th day of this month, for each household, or for the number of people who could eat a lamb. The lamb served as a substitute. However, the lamb was only acceptable if it was a one-year-old male without blemish. Kailangan walang bahid dungis. It was selected on the 10th day and to be kept until the 14th day. These qualifications were very important, friends. Kasi sang-ayon sa Deuteronomy 17 verse 1, God said that a blemished animal used for a sacrifice was an abomination. Israel needed a perfect substitute, a perfect sacrifice. This need for a perfect sacrifice reminds us of our own state, hindi po ba? We, being corrupted by our sin, cannot save ourselves. Our good works are like a blemished lamb, unworthy before a holy, holy, holy God. We need one who serves as a substitute on our behalf. Jesus Christ is the Lamb for the household of God. Only through faith in Him are our sins covered. He alone is our hope. You see how we easily connect what's happening in chapter 12 with our living hope. The gospel according to Jesus Christ. The gospel about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Let's go on. Verse 6. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house in which they eat it. So verse 6 and 7, we see what was to happen to this unblemished lamb. It was to be killed at twilight. The slain lamb vividly reminded everyone that all deserved judgment. Romans 3:23. Consequently, a blameless life had to be sacrificed in the place of the guilty who needed salvation. The blood of the lamb was applied to the doorpost, yung hamba ng pintuan. Both doorpost and lintel are to be covered with blood. Hindi lang yung slash lang, hindi lang slab or scribble. They should be covered with blood. And now, please pay attention that this requires obedience from Israel. Tama? The obedience of placing the blood on the doorposts then show that a person believed God would keep his word and pass over him, sparing him from judgment. You see faith. You see salvation by faith here. So Israel escaped judgment through this sacrifice, and salvation was accomplished by faith in the substitute. Look at verse 8. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. In this manner, you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So verse 8 to 11, nakita natin na nag-provide ng instruction ng ating Panginoong Diyos how to serve and how to eat the lamb. It is not to be eaten raw. And you would react, oh, siyempre naman, no, hindi natin kakain ng hilaw. Of course, we need to cook it. But you see, we do not read scripture with culinary eyes. Right? Kasi hindi natin maintindihan. We wouldn't get it. Many of the pagan food rituals and food rites then includes eating food raw. Right? They are to be different. Because they're not worshiping a false god. They are worshiping the one true God. They are to leave all the animal intact. Right? Sasabi rin dito, they should not eat the meal boiled either. This would become clear later. They are to leave all the animal intact. Wag tatanggalin yung ulo. It needs to be intact. And we are concerned of taste, right? Yikes, anong lasa nun? Susunugin lang, burn lang. But friends, this is not just a meal. This is a memorial meal. None of it is to be left behind. They eat what they can eat, and the leftovers, sorry, hindi gaya ng Pilipinong si ipapangat, no? Pangatlong luto na. No. They are to be burned. Why? Because it is both a meal and a sacrifice. And as a meal, and more importantly, a sacrifice, it is to be prepared, cooked, and consumed according to the Lord's command. It would be eaten with unleavened bread, yung walang levadura. The use of unleavened bread and the instruction to wear their clothes in a certain manner revealed that they needed to be prepared at any moment to depart. It was a reminder that they must be ready to follow God at a moment's notice. So, lumalabas dito, evidently, that the Israelites normally were barefoot sa bahay nila pag kumakain. And they would lay their staffs, set aside nila, as they eat in the comforts of their home. Sabi ng Diyos, you need to eat the Passover with their sandals. On your suit nyo dapat ang sandalias nyo. Tapos hawak-hawak nyo yung mga tungkod nyo. Telling us, this is a reinforced sense of urgency with which they had to eat the meal. Those consuming the meat were not to be in a relaxed dress of home, but in traveling attire. Not at ease about a table, but with a walking stick in hand. Not in calm security, but in haste with anxiety. Tapos, bukod doon, they are to eat it with bitter herbs. Horseradish. I don't know if you've tried that many years ago. Was it last year? We tried doing the Passover Seder. I was hoping to do that with all of you kasi nagkaroon ng coronavirus, but maybe in the Lord's providence next year. But they are to eat it with a bitter herb. Para saan? To remind them of the bitterness that they experienced in Egypt. As I was reading yung Passover Seder, yung elements of it, it really is bitter daw. It's like that bitter herb has a parang signage on it saying, huwag mo kong kainin. Ganun kapait. But that is to remind them of their time in Egypt and how they were saved by God in Egypt. And this is a beautiful picture of our own salvation. We believers likewise should remember the bitterness from which God has saved us. I don't know about you. Can you recall your life before Christ? Diba parang ang lungkot noon? Hindi lang parang. That was sad. We were in bitter bondage to our own sins. Yet, through Christ, our perfect Passover lamb, we were delivered from the wrath of God and given new life. Hindi po ba? Nowadays, many do not praise the God of grace with passion. Bakit? Because they cannot see the ugliness of their sin. Let me share with you what Thomas Watson said. Till sin be bitter, Christ will not be sweet. Diba sabi ngayon, he who has been forgiven much loves much. Friends, let us remember how sad it was before we were saved to appreciate our great salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb. Remember what God has done for you in delivering you from the bondage of sin. And now He has given you life. Let's go on. Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and all the gods of Egypt I will execute. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be assigned for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Next, we see a transition to the Lord's response to the blood. May instruction sila, ito gawin nyo. And now we see in this section, anong gagawin ng Diyos when He sees the blood on the doorpost? God would now act decisively, sabing ganun, against who? Of course, Egypt, and her powerless gods. yung mga Diyos-Diyos nilang wala namang kakwenta-kwenta. Yes, God has already addressed some of the gods of Egypt with the 9 plagues and now the 10th. But now he would judge the rest. All would now be judged. In his mighty judgment, God signaled that he was the real king. That the real king is present. Yahweh was to be feared, hindi si Pharaoh. Only the Lord is a true righteous judge, and he would make himself known. Behold your God. Behold Yahweh. Remember Yahweh. Friends, the events of the Passover are an awesome demonstration of God's holy judgment on Egypt and their false gods. Importante rin tingnan natin yung imagery dito, yung sign imagery. The blood on their doorpost, verse 13, served as a sign that judgment had already fallen on that house. Right? Kung paanong ang mga plagues were assigned to Egypt of God's judgment and justice, now, the Passover, particularly yung dugo sa pinto, was a sign of God's mercy to Israel. Right? Nakita natin dito how God was faithful to His promise in Genesis 3:15. Ano ba yung Genesis 3:15? Context there is the fall. We see there, di ba, yung promise ng Diyos, the gospel promise in the Old Testament, that there would be a seed that would crush the head of the serpent. In the midst of looming judgment, God provided for the seed of a woman. By how? By protecting Israel from slavery and from death for future salvation. In accomplishing this, he said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague will be among you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Ibig sabihin, tinanggap ng Panginoong Diyos ang sakripisyong kaaya-aya na binigay at inatang ng mga hinirang niya na nanampalataya na totoo ang gagawin ng Panginoong Diyos, and then he passed over that house. I just can't help, friends, to be more pastoral in preaching. Similarly, those who have been born again, di po ba? We have been covered by the blood of Christ. God sees Christ's blood on us and passes over our sin. He forgives our trespass and sees Christ's righteousness. And hindi lang nakita niya yung righteousness ng Panginoon Diyos, but He credits that as ours. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. God was making a distinction. A distinction with Israel. Pero hindi sabihin po na innocent ang Israel. Israel was not innocent on the basis of their bloodline galing kay Abraham. No, but rather they were found innocent because of the applied blood of the substitute. God judged Egypt, but He also judged Israel. The only difference, Israel had a substitute. The Passover demonstrated that apart from blood of the Lamb, Israel would be found guilty. Bakit po? Because God is holy. All are sinners, and all will face judgment, and all deserve to be cut off from God. But only because God is also gracious that He provided the way out, sacrificial lamb. Para din tayo si Pharaoh, mga kapatid. We are just like Pharaoh, even if we do not have that title, because we have hardened hearts. But God, in His grace, provides a way of salvation through the blood of a substitute. Though the Israelites have been protected from previous plagues, tipo ba? They had now to act faithfully in order to appropriate the means by which the Lord would pass over them. Ano sabi ng author ng Hebrews? By faith, he instituted the Passover and sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer, the firstborn, might not touch them. Hebrews 11:28. So we see there that the faith of the Jews. Blood represents life. Hindi po ba? Without it, we die. Righteousness is the lifeblood we need in order to be in a relationship with the Holy God. Because we do not have this in ourselves, wala, no? We need another one's righteousness. Tanong po, saan lang gagali ang righteousness ninyo? Sa inyo? Or is it coming from Christ, our substitute? He is our righteousness. We are covered by His blood, and He has given us life. Let's go on, verse 14. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast, the Lord, throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day, you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day, a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this very day, I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places, you shall eat unleavened bread. So verse 14 to 20, nag-focus ang Panginoon Diyos sa future of this event. It's going to be a memorial. And then therefore, in verse 14 to 20, God is giving them instructions on how to go about this new festival. What Israel would do in the promised land. For 7 days, they would eat unleavened bread. Walang levadura. Yung festival of unleavened bread was initiated by the Passover and observed for 7 days. These are not two separate holidays, but a one-week-long celebration. Bakit walang levadura? Why bread without yeast? It was because the Israelites ate it before it dries. Kakain nila yon bago umalsa. It was symbolic. Symbolic on many terms. Symbolic of their hasty departure. Hindi mo kailangan magpampalsa kung ano yan lang dyan, right? So, kainin nyo na. Hasty departure. Some would argue na ito daw ay since hindi siya, set apart siya with regards to other bread, kasi wala siyang levadura, so therefore, it's also symbolic, according to some, that we are saved, they are saved in order to be sanctified, in order to be set apart. And I think that's theologically spot on. Right? It reminds us that God saved Israel, and God saved us, not just for the sake of being saved. God saved us from sin and unto God. We were saved in order to live holy lives. In order to live holy lives. Sa New Testament, yung language po ng mga writers is pointing to this. Like 1 Peter. Sabi ni Peter, we are redeemed to live holy lives. Jesus himself used this image ng libadura. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So, the symbolism there is wonderful. Si Paul used the same image along with the Passover lamb image. nung nangungusap siya sa mga taga-Korinto. Your boasting is not good. 1 Corinthians 5. Don't you know that a little yeast permeates the whole batch of dough? Clean out the old yeast so that you may be a new batch. You are indeed unleavened, for Christ our Passover has been sanctified. Therefore, let us observe the feast, not with the old yeast or with the yeast of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Peter ends, ENNS, reminds us that Paul's charge for purity was not an appeal to mere moralism. Hindi sinasabi ni Paul na, do your best. No, it was given twofold. Bakit nyo dapat gawin to? Because Christ has atoned for your sin. And now, more importantly, you are now His people. You are now His people. They are now to act like what they are or who they are or in accordance to who they are now. Right? So, ito yung nakita nating prinsipyo that can apply to us. When we talk about why they should be eating bread without yeast, let's go on with the narrative. Look at verse 21. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves, according to your clans, and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. The Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. So my hyssop. What's with the hyssop? Ano ba yung hyssop? Are there any Bible passages that you are reminded of when you hear hyssop? Psalm 51. Wash me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Tama? So hyssop is related to purging, to washing. But it also has another effect. Ang hyssop po, isang halaman sa panahon nila, it also acts as an anticoagulant. Anong sinon? Meaning, it makes the blood thinner. Ano nangyayari pag, di ba, kailangan nila yung dugo para ilagay sa hamba, sa poste ng mga pintuan? Ano nangyayari usually sa mga dugo? Di ba, pag matagal nagmumuo, nagkukoagulate, so, sabi ng ilan, hyssop also acts as an anticoagulant para pag sinawsaw nila to make it as a paintbrush, it would make the blood thinner. So, making it easy for them to apply blood on the entire doorposts and lintel and not just a slash. The Jews use it for applying blood to the door in the Passover ritual because it's of its availability and suitability as an applicator para siyang paintbrush. Right? Verse 24, sabi niya, you shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as He has promised you, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for He passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt. Then when He struck the Egyptians but spared our houses, and the people bowed their heads and worshiped. So verse 24 to 27, we see that the Passover observance was not only a way to reflect on God's grace, but also an important means to teach the younger generation about God's mighty salvation. Ano po bang ginagawa nyo ngayon? I'm not saying we're in a plague right now, as some are claiming. It's plague-like siguro, pwede sabihin. But, I mean, how are you seizing the time? Are you teaching your kids? Sa context ng ating pinag-aralan, they are to use that as an object lesson to teach the kids of God's salvation. I pray as we are going through these rough times, difficult times, I pray that you are spending time with your kids and sharing with them God's mighty work of salvation. Necessity sa kanila na turuan ng kanilang mga anak for them to understand at a very young age who they were in Egypt, what they are and are becoming as they go through the Passover, and what they ought to be as a people, as a congregation of God. Pansinin niyo rin po yung reaction ng mga tao. They worship and they obey. The people bow down their heads and they worship. They bow down and worship. This theme of worship and obedience runs through the book of Exodus. By remember who God is and what God has done, they gave God praise and they obeyed Him. Sana gawin din natin po yan. At this point, I'd like for us to reflect a bit and just, for lack of time, I want for us to pause for a bit in this section. Friends, is that how we react and respond as we go back and remember our own Passover, our own personal Passover, when we, by God's grace, were saved by God, by giving us life, giving us faith, and covering us with the holy blood, passing over judgment. Not that we're not judged, but His judgment laying and falling on Christ. Ganun po ba response natin? Worship? Siguro, most of us did that in the early years of our salvation. But the thing is, I mean, as a memorial, just like what we are seeing here, hindi dapat matapos doon. Hindi dapat minsanan lang. And more than worship, we see they obeyed. They did what Moses and Aaron shared with them or told them. In the same manner as we reflect on our own salvation, sana po we would worship, more than worship, and accompanied by obedience in worship na yon. We worship and we obey. Right? Kasi mere worship can be just sentimentalism. O pagiging sentimental lang. Mere obedience can be legalism. But we, as we reflect on God saving you, saving me, as we reflect on God's great salvation, we ought to bow down, worship Him, and in love and gratitude, obey Him. We would need to stop right here and continue on next week. I just wanted to leave that sa ating ngayong gabing ito. This is a wonderful, wonderful section talking about the great redemptive act of God to Israel. And it's a wonderful, wonderful picture of our own salvation. Tanong ko lang po, I don't want to be naive in assume that most of you who are watching this are from GCF East. Or if you are, of if you have been attending GCF, I don't want to assume that you are a believer. And I say this very lovingly. Nagtiwala na po ba kayo sa Passover lamb na ito? Have you placed your confidence in this substitute? Do you understand that he is indeed perfect? Do you see that there is a need for you to have a savior? There's a need for a savior because you cannot save yourselves. Kung naiintindihan mo ito, I pray that in your homes, in your seat right now, or whatever you're doing, I pray that you would act now by faith. Respond to the call. Respond to the call to embrace this substitute. I pray that God would give you faith. I pray that you would repent of your sins and embrace this wonderful, wonderful Lamb of God who would take away your sin. Would take away your sin and wash you as white as snow. Do it now. Do it now. Shall we pray? And I hope I would see you next week. Well, I can't see you. You will see me. And to continue this study. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for how we can always go back to our own salvation as we reflect on how you saved Israel. Huwag niyo pong hayaan, Panginoong Diyos, na masayang po ang panahon na kami po ay naka-confine sa aming mga tahanan. And are face-to-face with the reality of our own frailty, na magmatigas pa rin kami agahin ng paraon. Lord, may it never be, Lord, that you would find this person who's watching this still hardening his or her heart. We pray, Lord, that you would glorify yourself in our lives and in the life of your church. We pray that you'd just protect our church. We pray that in your providence, you would provide a time for us to be together again in worship, and congregate and enjoy each other's fellowship and together celebrate, Lord, this redemptive act, this saving grace, this wonderful, amazing love. We thank you. We love you. In Christ's most precious name we pray. Amen. Salamat po sa pagsama sa akin. I'll see you all next week. God bless you. Bye.